We'll lead with a story today about squeezing European banks till they cry uncle.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. It's like a horror movie designed to scare economists, bankers, and really anyone in Europe who has a job or wants a job. European banking regulators today released their list of scary scenarios they'll use to see if banks could survive without a government bailout. The BBC's Nigel Cassidy is following this from London. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So give me a sense of what some of these torture tests will be like.
There are three main ones. One is that if there's a 7% drop in GDP, that might sound a bit unlikely now, but don't forget Greece is still recovering from recession four times that large. A 14% fall in house prices, that's possible in some European countries, even though they're romping away here in London, and a 19% drop in share prices. It's all part of a bigger process, really, trying to persuade the banks to keep up the pressure to ferret out all those bad loans and assets on their books, which simply aren't worth what the paper says.
Now, these are some nasty little tests, some of the perhaps the toughest the EU has unveiled.
Most certainly they are tough, and they need to be, because the European Central Bank is gradually taking over collective responsibility for the banks and all the bad loans. The problem is that the backstop in Europe just simply isn't big enough if two or three big banks failed again. They just wouldn't have the money to save them. And they want to push the responsibility onto shareholders, to bondholders. And this is one way of doing just that.
The BBC's Nigel Cassidy in London. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Meanwhile, the U.S. has its own stress tests for banks. Bank of America thought it had passed with flying colors, but as we've been reporting, it now finds it made a mistake in its test data. That means B of A is no longer buying back a bunch of its shares as planned, and stockholders don't get the increase in dividend they were promised. Investors took it out on the stock. Ticker symbol BAC fell 6.25% yesterday. Toyota of Japan is centralizing its U.S. business operations in Plano, Texas, north of Dallas. Texas gets 4,000 jobs, but California, New York, and Kentucky lose out. Marketplace's Sabri Benishor has more.
People sometimes make big moves after a lot of soul searching, and the same is true of companies.
With the problems following on their latest recall and all the problems they had with unintended acceleration, they were in the process of rethinking a lot of things that had been taken for granted for a long time in that company, including things like location.
Rita Gunther McGrath is a professor at Columbia's Business School in New York. She says relocating lets you reinvent yourself.
It breaks through inertia. It has the effect of shaking up existing power relationships. It changes the way people share information.
And consolidating saves money, but why Plano, Texas? Well, it's central, it's closer to a major factory. But remember, Toyota has to convince 4,000 people with families and hobbies and lives to move too.
Central location, transportation, quality of the education, all of that is very desirable out of the Dallas area.
Carl Brower is with Kelly Blue Book. L.A. has traffic, New York is expensive, and Texas has no state income tax. So there's that, too. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is up 0.7%. Dow, S&P, and Nasdaq futures up. On this spring day, let's do an economic story at the corner of real estate and gardening. Gardens up on the roof can keep cities from heating up, keep strain off the sewer, and cheer up butterflies and humans, Matt Baum reports.
It's Saturday morning in L.A.'s Lincoln Heights neighborhood. The L.A. River Revitalization Corporation is showing off a plan to add green space to an area that's now dominated by heavy industry. Lee Christie of architecture firm Perkins & Will is explaining some options.
You'd be looking at more raised beds or more greenhouses, which really opens up the possibility for rooftops.
Rooftops have a lot of hidden potential. A new EPA study predicts that as cities grow hotter, replacing flat black rooftops with plants could cool the cities back down. Phil Moorfield is one of the co-authors of that study.
Really, any sort of well-designed, well-maintained green roof will give some benefit for the building that it's installed on.
There's just one problem. Green roofs come with a big upfront cost. So now some cities are experimenting with financial encouragement. For example, Austin lets developers build more floor space if they include green roofs. And Seattle gives out credits and discounts for rooftop gardens. Here's Seattle urban designer Dave LeClerc.
Properties that take advantage of that credit range from single-family homes to a regional airport. So they're very different in size and scale.
It's been a learning process. In Nashville, a credit of $10 per square foot of green roof hasn't attracted a single taker. But Portland got an overwhelming response to a credit of just half that much. That's because green roofs need to be customized to what the market in each city wants as much as to the weather. One market might respond best to grants, while another prefers tax credits. In tiny Saluda, North Carolina, the Polk County Community Foundation provided a $6,000 grant for a green roof on the restrooms at Pearson's Falls. Elizabeth Nager is the foundation's president and CEO.
The roof resembles the forest floor in the glen below the waterfall. There are smooth rocks which fill the space where you expect to see traditional gutters.
But it's more than a few rocks and sage bushes. It's part of a national experiment that's happening right over our heads. In Los Angeles, I'm Matt Baume for Marketplace.
And one more on biodiversity. This one's from Scotland Today. Actually, let me just read to you how our partners, the BBC, put it. Quote, "Most Scots support the reintroduction of beavers to the country, according to the findings of an opinion poll. 1,652 people were asked this question. 74% were all right with the return of the beaver. There's been much study about the effects on forestry, landscape, flooding, since they're so good at cutting down trees with their teeth. The Scottish Environment Minister says when it comes to the beaver, he's keeping an open mind. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.